Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, February the 17th, President's Day here in the United States. And we'll have a little bit to say about President's Day later on. I wrote a post today talking about President's Day, and I want to share with you some of my thoughts about some of the great presidents, and wanted to do that as well. Sanders is moving up. If you look at everywhere, Sanders is looking better and better all the time, and Bloomberg is spending money like crazy. He's also apparently looking better all the time. So we'll get into a little bit of the politics of that, but I want to talk about a post that I have this morning over at the American Thinker. You may have heard that Univision, the Spanish network, is up for sale, and Univision is having some problems. A lot of the problems are management problems. A lot of them are simply bad decisions that they've made, and that happens in any business, okay? So I'm not going to beat up on them for that because other companies make mistakes like that. But I think there's really one problem that they acknowledge having and a second problem that I think they need to be very careful, particularly the new ownership. Whoever buys Univision is going to have to be very concerned with problem number two. But let's look at number one. The first problem is simply a generational problem in the sense that when people come to the United States, initially, of course, they get their news from the Spanish network because that's easy. I mean, they can particularly, news from their own country or just news in general. They tend to watch Spanish television, and they do so in large numbers. But as the young people, as the children grow up, as they get more and more involved in the United States, the kids then basically tune out Spanish TV and become more of a user of English TV. And that's kind of what their problem is, just the mere fact that they, unless they have to be constantly replenishing their audience, because as their audience gets more and more involved in the United States, particularly the younger people, they don't watch Univision. They watch, American TV, whatever it may be. They also tune in other sports, like American football or other sports, and they're not just soccer fans, as their parents tend to be. So part of the problem is structural. But I think there's a larger problem, too, with Univision. And I put this right on the lap of Jorge Ramos, who's sort of been the face of the network. I really believe that this network became, Univision that is, became too closely associated with an immigration activist type approach to things. That Jorge Ramos is really no longer a journalist. He's more of an immigration activist. Now, if you agree with Jorge Ramos, that's a good thing. You're going to like what he has to say. But a lot of Hispanics are as skeptical of illegal immigration as the general population is. And I think when they're being fed this message of, support for illegal immigration and no limits on illegal immigration, really basically no borders, when that happens, I think that a lot of Hispanics tune out. And the new management of Univision, whoever buys the network, has got to understand that. They've got to change the perception that Univision is all about immigration. That, in other words, they need to start covering the news like any other station and simply addressing the news and talking about the news. There was a study recently that was done about Hispanic TV, but primarily Univision, where their coverage of immigration is over and over and over, but yet they're not talking about the success of Hispanics in this American economy right now. They're not talking about other issues that concern Hispanics, family issues and so on. They're completely focused on immigration. And I think it reaches a point where, yes, the people who are interested will tune you and follow you, but there's a significant number of Hispanics who I think are interested in other things. So my advice to the ownership of Univision is maybe check out what Telemundo has done. Telemundo is actually doing quite well, and that's because they have not been as political. When you watch Telemundo, Yeah, obviously they have to, you know, they have to do programming about immigration, but they tend to be more interested in news coverage. They're not as, they're not also, Telemundo is not as identified with a political activist as Jorge Ramos is with Univision. So I don't know who's going to take them over. I don't know what's going to happen. There's some talk that the company may be broken up. The radio stations go one way, the TV. I don't know. I mean, there's obviously an audience. And somebody's gonna, you know, somebody's gonna want to keep that audience. But I think that that particular network, Univision, needs a few changes, and they need to make a few changes so that they can become better connected, I think, with the needs of the overall Hispanic community, and in a sense become less political. I think that's the key. Become less political, more, you know, of a news coverage, and less of simply, you know, immigration activism. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be an interesting sale. It's going to have an impact on the future of the company. Now, as I say in the article, I've appeared on Univision many times, and they've always treated me well. So I'm not going to sit here and complain about the way I've been treated, because they've always treated me very well. But that's not really the issue. The issue is, I think, more on a national level, where I think they've become way too identified with immigration, rather than I think looking at the needs of the overall Hispanic community. A couple of quick things about the politics. I mentioned that Bernie Sanders, Senator Sanders, is really going up. He is doing very well. There was a poll that was taken right here in Texas not long ago that shows him actually leading in Texas. There's a poll that says he's going to win Nevada. And then, of course, there's Super Tuesday. Texas is part of Super Tuesday, and we'll see what happens there. My sense is that Sanders is doing very well. Now, Bloomberg, who is the other person in the race, he is spending money like crazy. I don't know. I mean, he can keep it up. He's got all the money in the world and all the willingness to spend it, so he's going to keep it up. But I don't know how effective this is going to be, because at some point on Super Tuesday, I think it's going to come down to basically Bloomberg and Sanders. But at the pace that they are going, nobody, I think, is going to have a majority when they get to the convention, because of how, you know, how divided all these delegates are going to be. I mean, they spread them out based, I mean, pro rata, you get 2%, you get 2% of the delegates, you get 10%. So instead of winner take all, which is what the Republicans do, what you have is a, you know, everybody gets a share. So everybody goes home with at least one or two delegates, which means that nobody's closing in on the sale here. Nobody's closing in on the nomination. And I think that's going to create tremendous problems, because it looks to me more and more likely that they're going to get to Milwaukee, where the convention is held, and nobody is going to have a majority. And that's going to create some very serious problems on that floor, because I simply cannot believe that the Bernie Sanders people are going to go along with a Bloomberg nomination. I just don't buy that. There's also the establishment that doesn't want to support Bernie Sanders. But if Bernie Sanders has the votes, they're stuck with him. They have to support him. So it's going to be a very chaotic, I think, 3 or 4 months for the Democrats. It's not going to get any better anytime soon, and they can only blame themselves, really, because they allowed this crazy left to take over their party, and now they're paying the consequences of what that crazy left can do for you. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on President's Day, Monday, February the 17th. Well, a couple of big items on this day in history before we talk about the presidents. Joe DiMaggio was drafted on this day in 1943. Now, think about that. He was at the time the number one player in baseball. I think he was the best paid player in baseball, and he was drafted, and he spent the next three seasons in the Pacific, and he lost three of his greatest years to World War II. So the great DiMaggio was drafted on this day. We say happy number 84 to Jim Brown. If you remember the old NFL or the NFL in the 60s, Jim Brown was the man. This is the greatest. I still think he's the greatest running back ever. Even though, of course, he only played 10 seasons and, you know, the season was shorter back then. It was 14 games. It's 16 now. But I think on a per game basis, he's still the all-time greatest. I had the chance to watch him on TV, and Jim Brown was just the best. I mean, he was just the greatest running back ever. And we say happy number 57 to Michael Jordan, arguably the best NBA player in history. Although, again, you've had different times in the NBA. The game is different now than it was 30 or 40 years ago and so on. But I think Michael Jordan, if he's not the greatest, he's got to be in the top two or three. Well, let's talk a little bit about President's Day. This is a holiday, of course, that has been around for a short time. We used to have 2 days. We had February 22nd, Washington's birthday, and then we had February 12th, Lincoln's birthday. I don't know exactly when they combined the two and made it into one holiday, but now we have one holiday, which is President's Day. I think when you're looking at the presidents, there is the inevitable reality that you're going to always look at the presidents that you lived under or the presidencies that you remember, and you're always going to be more passionate about those. And that's the natural thing. In other words, if I was talking to you in the 19th century, let's say at this time in the 19th century or even in the 20th century, I would have been talking about the presidents of that time. I'd be talking about James Monroe back 200 years ago. I'd be talking about Teddy Roosevelt, let's say, 100 years ago. So there is the inevitable reality that you're going to remember the ones that you remember living under. And that's a bias that I think all of us are going to have. Now, in my particular case, I tend to look at the presidents, and I see four who I think are super great. And it doesn't matter what time you look at or what period of time you're looking at. The two who are super, super great are Lincoln and Washington. And Lincoln, of course, for saving the country, and Washington for starting the country. Without Washington, this would have been a totally different country. Without his integrity, his leadership, the United States maybe would not have survived. That is how critical Washington was to the making of the United States. So those are the two who sort of stand out. They're like, you know, the super, super Hall of Famers. Then you have some two other presidents who I regard as great in the 20th century. They are FDR, who basically kept the country together during the Great Depression, a great speaker, a man who I think made the country feel better. There's no question about that. And then there's Reagan, who also made the country feel better. He was the great communicator. He was the man who made all of us feel patriotic and American, and he was just an absolutely fantastic man, a great leader, a great role model, I think, as a president. So those, you know, you've got Washington and Lincoln at the very top, and then I put FDR and Reagan at the next tier. And then there's a bunch of them, you know, in that list. There's 45 of them. But there's three that I want to talk about right now, who I think are very much underrated and who I think were very great presidents. The first one is Truman, who was the one who really put together the Truman Doctrine, is pretty much what ran this country from the late 40s until the collapse of the Soviet Union. George W. Bush, who I think was largely underrated, but kept this country together after 9/11. I think his work and leadership was absolutely amazing. And Eisenhower, who I think is very underrated, but again, another man who had the personality, the right approach to govern this country in the 1950s, the threat of nuclear war, the country expanding. And I think he was just the right man to serve the country after Korea, and after World War II. So those three, I should say, Truman, Eisenhower, and George W., are three that I admire for being great leaders at the time that they served. Well, that's my President's Day message for you. There's 45 of them, so I'm sure we couldn't cover all of them, and maybe I didn't pick one of your favorites, but those are the ones that I love. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.